We're up to page Tov Tov Memtes. Klal Kuf Mem Halacha Tezayin. And we'll just skip one, but it's just not kedai to go a whole paper for one. So let's just do the start of the Halacha Tezayin. Nistak L'Rochboy B'Miyutoy Kosher B'Ribay Pasol. We discussed yesterday what happens if whatever there's a crack in the shofar. So we discussed yesterday all of the laws of the crack along the length of the shofar. So we learn all of the different opinions. One opinion says that it's kosher b'di'evit. One opinion says it's possible afil b'di'evit, because if there's a crack along the length, it means it will automatically, at some point in time, will expand. It's going to expand. It's going to go from end to end. So we look at it, al shem soifai, and it's possible immediately. And then we discuss what you can do to fix it. Can you tie something around the shofar to strengthen it, to prevent it from cracking more? Can you glue it? Can you heat it, melt it? All the different opinions. The bottom line was, lechatchila, it is pasul. B'di'evit, it is kosher. We discussed the difference between Rosh Hashanah and the rest of the time when you blow shofar. And Rosh Hashanah, it's a mitzvah deraisa, you should not use it at all, lechatchila. And during the Chodesh Elul, it's no big deal if you'll use such a shofar. Now we're discussing the new halacha. What happens if there's a crack along the width of the shofar? Width-wise, not lengthwise. So it says here in Halacha Tezayin, Nistak, on page Tav Tav Mentes, Nistak L'Rachboy B'Mi'utoy, it's only a minority, Kosher. B'Ruboy, if the crack goes around the majority of the circumference, it's possible. The Have Lake Ilu Mital Kule, if the crack is in the majority, it's the entire thing, the entire section has been removed from the Shofar. Ella in Kain, Nishtayu Litzad Piv Kashir, unless before the crack, Karabaisai, please. Okay, Ella, Ellen K, Nishtayer, Litzad, Piv, Kishior. Karabaisai, please. Ella, Imke, Nishtayer, Litzad, Piv, Kishior. Unless you have, when you begin to blow the shofar, you have a full shear. So the crack along the width does not be, if you have, you have a tefach. When you put it into your mouth, until the crack develops along the width, then it's kosher. The Yeshai, remember, afilu shaloi litzad piv. Some say even shaloi afilu kishaloi litzad piv. V'loi choshev hefsek demin b'minoi einay chaytzeitz. Some say elin ken nishtar litzad piv kishir. The Yeshai, some say
even if there's no shear, even if it's in the first tefa.
The first tefach.
It's also okay.
It's also kosher because even though we're going to consider it to be it's lo kosher hefsek demin b'mino eino chaytzitz. All right. So again, I don't really have clarity in this. Basically, different opinions. So I guess lechatchila no, any crack lechatchila no, any b'di'evit it's kosher. I guess you see today people are very machmir. They all look at the shofar. There's a crack in the shofar. They're not going to use a shofar. I guess because we're spoiled today and there are so many shofars available. There's an abundance of shofars. Therefore, we a makbid if there's any crack whatsoever in the shofar in any way, whether it's length or width, it is no good. New halacha. Okay, now that pretty much concludes the basic laws of cracks. Now we go to new halachas. The sound of the shofar. Halacha yitzayin hirchik as a shofar mipiv v'nafach boy v'taka boy pasul. If you go and you distance the shofar from your mouth, somehow you're able to blow at a distance, and your lips are not in direct contact with the shofar, pasul. Kevon she'ein ha-shofar nogea el piv. Okay, that's halacha. You must have your lips come in direct contact with the shofar. Halacha yudches. Ha-goizel shofar, if you steal a shofar. L'chadchil also litkoya bo, you're not allowed to blow from the shofar. Da'avei mitzvah ha-babi aveira. U'mikol mo'akoyim b'di'evet yoytze afilu lo nishyoshu ha-bolem. B'di'evet! If you blow from a stolen shofar, you yoytze the mitzvah deraisa of shofar. Why? He says a very fascinating idea. The ein gezel b'kol. It's not shayich gezel when it comes to sound. Isn't it very interesting? The first thing with Aser Simei Tshuva, with the mitzvah is shofar. At the end of Yom Kippurim, the end of the Yemei Adin, Yom Kippurim, we come to Yom Kippur. What's the last thing we do on Yom Kippur? Ne'ilah. What does it say in Ne'ilah? Is besides blowing shofar, what's the nusach, the unique part of Ne'ilah does not appear any other place, anywhere in the entire nusach atzilah from the entire Yom Naraim, entire Aser Simei Tshuva. L'man nechtal me'oishek yodeinu. we should be spared from theft, from oishak, from illicit gain, from extortion. Leman nechtal me oishak yodeinu. That's like the most important thing when we come to the end of Ne'ilah to say those words, that we should not be nichshol in gezel. So it's interesting, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's not even shayach gezel. We blow, maybe that's exactly the point, that this matter is so it's so critical. Gezel, we have to appreciate the severity of what it means to have money, to live off money that does not belong to you. Hashem gave us a matana. The way we are mispal, can you close the door maybe, Ramchol? Can you close the door? Maybe lock it. Let them come around from the front. Let lock the door. Let them come around. If they want to come from the front because the door there is locked.
It's always open from the inside.
Okay. So it's very interesting is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the what we see from Yom Kippurim, L'ma nechtal me'oyshek yodeinu. We have to be so careful not to be nichshol in gezel. The choymer hadavar, that's the spitz of the tefillos of the Yom L'Rayim. Hashem did this a toiva that in Rosh Hashanah, it's not even shayach gezel in the koyach of tefillah. Because even if chas v'shalom the shofar is stolen, and a person blows from a shofar, and the kol shofar is the pure sound of prayer, it's the purest cry, even if the shofar is stolen, but you cannot say gezel on koil. Koil is something that's not shayach to steal. So b'diyev yes, that now it's not, obviously it's not a hidur that your shofar was stolen, and even al kedei kach, we'll say in a moment, you can make a bracha. If a person steals a shofar, and it's Rosh Hashanah, you can't make a bracha. You can't, the Baal Tekeh cannot go, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kedem Elchom Asher, Kedem Shonim, Bim Mitzvah, Yisrael, Lid Koyah, Bekosh, Yisrael, Rabbi Sai, it's shofar blowing away. I want everyone to know that I stole the shofar. So today in Shul, we're not going to make a bracha, but don't worry, Yoytza the Mitzvah. Yoytza, but no bracha today, Rabbi Sai. Everything here in the Shul is stolen.
Okay?
What?
The guys are walking by.
So,
what
was that again? What?
Guys are walking behind the shul.
In the street. The classic shayla that is discussed in the Paiskim is people don't pay for seats. People come to shul and they don't pay. Rabbi Sai, please, can we have some. People come to shul, they don't pay for seats. So the Gabbai says, Rabbi Sai, this is the highway robbery here. You know, this is our only day of the year we raise money for shul to pay the bills. You have a chutzpah to come to shul and not pay for the seat. So we want to let you know, anyone that does not pay for their seat, the Baal Tekeh is going to have kavana that he should not be yoytze. Having kavana, that he should not be moytze him, and the Baal Tefillah when he davens to the Yomini, a kavana that he should not serve as his shliach tzibur. So you're not saving yourself any money. You think over here you're pulling a fast one on us. You're coming here, you're sitting here in shul for free. You should know we're having kavana that you not be yaitzim. This is serious business. People do this. And who says it's not within their right to make such a statement? You have a shul, and the shul has no money to pay the bills, and people have to be schnorrers to go raise money to pay the bills. So in a chanami. So you're coming to a point, the people there on the shul have plenty of money. Okay, right after Rosh Hashanah, they're off to the races. They go and they're spending $30,000 on a nice sukkah vacation in a hotel somewhere, and they don't want to pay their membership dues that the shul needs, the basic bread and butter to pay the electricity bill. So this isn't a joke. This is something that was seriously done years ago in certain shuls. What?
This is what keyword is all about, though. Work on it differently.
Don't tell me that. It all depends. Everything, it's all relative to your clientele. You're in the business of kiruv, it's not going to work, obviously. But when you're dealing with people, this is their shul, you're not dealing with kiruv, you're dealing with adults, you're dealing with people who are responsible, people who have plenty of money, they have plenty, the proof is, we know they have plenty of money, and they're just negligent, they're just delinquent in just getting the shul off the ground. Why does the shul have to become a schnorrer place when it shouldn't be a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal just to pay the electricity bill. We're not talking about luxuries. So okay, today you don't hear about this, but years ago it was you know, in certain places when money's tight, it's a very serious thing. Can you do such a thing like that? So it's a very big machlokes if it works. There's a lot of stories with Bali Kriya, people who lane, they spend 10 hours preparing. Okay, you people, not everyone is about Mayevsky. There are people who have to sit and break their head and steal time they don't have to appear laning, and they come to shul and everyone's talking during laning. So there are many stories about like Kriya. They get very, very frustrated and they say, Rabbi Isai, I'm telling you now, anyone who talks during Kriya Satara, I have kavana not to be moitzi them. Okay, this is a famous Shilas stories. So, and therefore, if you want to come to the shul to hear Kriya Satara, you should know you're wasting your time, because if you're going to sit here and talk and shmooze during Kriya Satara, you're not being yoytze, so go to another shul where they don't make this announcement. And why not? Why not make this announcement? Everywhere, you have to be so nice. What? What? Why are you being so politically correct? I don't see. You're being very gentle.
Close up the shul.
What?
There's a story that, I don't know which rabbi it was, is talking to the shul, he said,
Rabbi Olbaum.
Okay, Olbaum. That's the way.
Maybe.
You don't make threats. You know, not Yotzi, not this.
It's the biggest threat.
What?
No, that's action.
That's an extreme matter. You know, there's a certain amount of garbage you're going to take. Come a certain point in time, you don't have to be politically correct. You know, there's a certain point in time. You have to be very nice. You tolerate abuse. There's a certain time. You want to come to shul. That's right. There's a way you talk very nice. First person. I know the whole procedure. I've gone to the shul. People. My father used to have a shul. I used to have a minion. I used to have a young married's minion. Okay. So the way I used to give the drasha, talk to you, try to maintain decorum. So first, Rabbi Sai, please. So first, what do you do? You're not allowed. What are the rules of them? The training. How do they train you in rabbi school? The way training is, someone's talking during davening. Chas v'sholom to mevazim b'rabim. It's the biggest of error. When davening is over, you invite him over for a Shabbos meal, and privately b'chedrei chadarim, you tell him. You know, we're trying to maintain decorum. You do me a toiva. You know, maybe you can not talk. Imamish chedrei chadarim, you talk sweet. That doesn't work. You try that a few times. So then you make a general announcement. That doesn't work. Then you start threatening the people. That doesn't work. Then the ultimate is you mevazin barabim. And the Mishnah Berurah talks about, and the Mishnah Berurah Taka says in the Ber Halacha that it's mutter.
2 years and that doesn't work either.
With that person, that won't work either.
Okay, it's mamish mutter. It's mutter. There are times when it's mutter.
Your system calls him to start.
Okay, I had a time, I could not believe this. I had a person who did all the steps. He was sitting this close to me. Okay, I was talking, I gave a drasha before Musaf, this close to me with his next friend. And as I'm talking, they're having a conversation. I couldn't believe it. I go through all the steps. So these people, what do you do with them? You mevazeh them, rabim, you get out of this shul. I don't want to see you here. Get lost. No, they didn't come back. I threw him out and he was gone. He was gone. Gone. You throw him out. How much garbage do you have to tolerate?
Right.
It comes a point in time. You be politically correct, you be very nice, and it comes a point in time there's no garbage. It's not so far-fetched if you have a shul and the people are totally out of hand with about Kriya or with about, they say, you don't want to pay the membership bills over here. What do you think this is over here? You go to the gym, you don't pay internet bill. You know what happens? Who doesn't pay their internet bill? Who doesn't pay their cell phone bill? Right? But when you come to shul, so we have to be schnorrers. We have to go and schnorr. You have the money to pay. You have the service. You come here every single Shabbos. You want to pay the bills. You know what, Rabbi Sai? It's very, very simple. If you don't want to pay, if you don't want to behave yourself, then don't go somewhere else. And it's very simple way is we have kavana that we're not being mitzi the people who want to play games with us. It's why is it so far fetched? I really don't understand. You know, I've seen in this business so much garbage, even over here. It's what? Is it counterproductive? It depends. If you go through the steps, it's not counterproductive. If you go, the first thing you do is you nuke them. The first thing you do, you come to shul for the very first time, the first thing you do is that's it. We're dropping the nuclear bomb, you're all gone. Okay, that's very counterproductive. But if you spend 2 years, 2-3 years, going through all the steps they teach you in rabbi school, what to do, benimus, with encouragement, and it doesn't work, then you go and you pull out the big guns. A lot of people, they're very offended. They have these.
You're making it, it sounds like, you know, it happens.
If you get
you're getting too emotionally. Okay, let's go Vita. We're wasting time here. Waste over here. We're wasting time here. Please. So here we have a Yisoid.
So what happens if you make a bracha or no?
Doesn't matter.
So you don't make a bracha. If the shofar is stolen, you don't make a bracha.
You're walking outside the shul and you hear a tkiya, can you make a bracha now?
If you hear the tkiya and you don't make the bracha, the one who makes the bracha is the Baal Tekeh. You say you only hear the sound. Can you make a bracha?
So this,
I don't think so.
This is because the mitzvah is to hear the sound. So
Lishmoya kol shofar.
So the sound you cannot steal.
The sound cannot be stolen. All he's telling you here is that you're yoytze by listening to the sound, even though the shofar has been stolen. But you cannot make a bracha on this blowing of the shofar. You yoytze the blowing, but don't be a bracha levatola on mitzvah habavi avera. Let's go further. There's no bracha. Avol b'shofar sho'ol borrowed shofar. There's no din lochem. Now here he elaborates. There's no din lochem. Let me read the words. Yoytzen afilu lechatchilu b'vorach melo, you make a bracha. Now you ask the question, why is this different than a lulav? A lulav ulekachtem lochem. You have to own your lulav in order to be yoytze the midst of lulav the first day midaraisa. Af al gadol siv yoyim tura yihiyeh lochem. It says the same word by shofar as it says by v'lulav tchsiv, it says l'kachtem lochem, and there kaim lo, we accept the ein yoytzim b'shol, you're not yoytzi a lulav that's been borrowed, and that's why you should not give your lulav to a child on the first day of Sukkot, because he cannot give it back to you. A child can take but cannot give, and therefore shiny hasam de lochem koy al l'kachtem. Look at the grammatical structure of the pasuk. The word lochem is referring to the word l'kachtem. You shall take for yourself. Mashma shalakicha yeh mishalachem v'chein bitzitzis ta'aseh l'cha. It has to be your, it's a talish sh'ula, you do not make a bracha. That's another famous halacha when it comes to slichos. When do we start slichos? Not this Mishnah Shabbos, right? Next Mishnah Shabbos?
Next.
It's the shortest possible slichos, right?
Yeah.
Get a bonus this year. You get the shortest possible slichos this year. So,
pay for it next
year. So, and you have to say, what do you say? What do you do? The minig is, right, the minig is that the shliach tzibur, Rabbi Sai, there's a shaila if you wear a talis at night. Rabbi Sai, please.
Come on,
the shaila is at night. When you put on a talis at night, you make a bracha. It's a very big shaila because it's the only chayv to wear tzitzis uri'isim, I say, not at night. Ksus yoim, ksus laila, pajamas, all the shaila. So what do we do? Lechatchila is supposed to borrow. The shliach tzibur is supposed to borrow a talis for the slichos that he recites chatzois laila. Or you take the shul's talis. You take the shul's talis.
Or you can take the shul's talis.
So that's another shayla. It's a shayla. It's a shayla when you take a shul talis to make a bracha. Right. There's a machleg, that's a general machleg. We saw that a few times. When a person davens mincha, you daven, you come to a shul, and you're a member of the shul, you're not a member, and you daven mincha, you make a bracha and you put on the talis. L'chatchil l'chayra, yes. The pashtus is if you are davening, you come to a shul and you take the shul talis, even if you're not a member of the shul, it's a given that the shul gives the shul talis to the one who davens for the amud, and it should be his. We're giving it to you as a matana al menas lahachzir, that is enough for you to make a bracha. May ikar hadin, when you come to a shul and you daven for the amud, you take your talis, if you're davening shachris or mincha, Ma'ariv is a problem because the whole you don't make a bracha at night. You should make a bracha. The minuk ha'olam is not. Now, not all. It depends where you go. I've seen many talmidei chachamim, chashu talmidei chachamim make a bracha. I'm telling you, I've seen this many times.
What do they do?
Marv is a pronoun. So Marv, Musach Sfard, even many, many places, Ashkenaz, they don't wear a talus.
Then why can't you use your own talus at night?
It's worse. Let's go through the steps. Let's first explain the idea. Listen, so during Shachris and Mincha Meikar Adin, if you go to shul, the shul gives the talus to the person, it's yours. Amatana Almanas Lahaksir, you should make a bracha. The Minuk Ha'olam is not to make a bracha, especially by Bnei Torah. Not all. I've seen many Bnei Torah who make a bracha. And the logic is that the reason why you're wearing the talus is only Mishum Kvoid Hatzibur. I'm not having Kavana when I wear the talus. I should be yoytzei with the mitzvah of talus. I'm wearing the talus only out of honor, kavod hatzibur. Only kavod hatzibur does not qualify as a requirement that I'm having kavanah not to be yoytzei to some degree. I mean, it's a very strange idea. You're having kavanah not to be yoytzei the mitzvah of tzitzis. I'm putting on this garment because this garment is a garment, it's a talus shal mitzvah with tzitzis, which is a kavod for the shliach tzibur to wear. My kavon is kavod tzibur. My kavon is not to be yoytzei the mitzvah. Memela, I don't make a bracha. Yesh v'yesh. There are some talmidei chachamim make a bracha, some talmidei chachamim do not make a bracha. People who don't think don't make a bracha. But the big talmidei chachamim, you'll notice, most of them that I've observed, chashur people who daven for the amud, even in places where generally they don't make a bracha, I've seen them make a bracha when they take the talus of the tzibur. It's no harm done. If you want to make a bracha and it's not tichud the tzibur, everyone's like, wait, oh, no, let's go. It's not tichud the tzibur. You start and you get your warm up, go to the batter's box, go to the mound, a few pitches, a little before, then it's not tichud the tzibur. You can make a bracha, no harm is done. And you do the whole hesate b'tzitzis. Now, that's good for shachris and mincha. At night, you can't make a bracha on the talus. Why not? Because at night is a shayla. Can you make a bracha on night? What's the dilemma? Mitzadecha, the zman is a zman when you cannot say uri isim oisoi. But mitzad sheni, whoever said that the mitzvah is totally in the zman, it's totally in the type of garment. If this is a garment that you wear during the day, it's a garment that's worn during the day. Even now, when you wear it at night, you should make a bracha. It's totally in the ksus. If it's ksus yoim, so it's a ksus who be'etzem is ru'isem so you should make a bracha even at night. This is the dilemma. So therefore, the minig is that at night, if you're wearing a talus in the shul at night, it's certainly only if you do daven in a shul where they wear a talus at night, and it's more common among Ashkenazim. Nusach Svar, they never wear a talus at night, but Har Givoyavar, to wear a talus at night, and Minch as well, they don't wear a talus, no way, but Mairiv, Ashkenaz, and Nusach Ashkenaz, it depends, there's no said Minuk, in the yeshivas, they generally do wear a talus at night as well, certainly your kavan is only l'chavoyd hatzibor, it's not l'shem mitzvah. Now, going a step back, what about those who take a talus from a shul to make a pumfa keret? They'll tell you that the shul, the dafka, does not give the talus to the person. The reason why you don't make a bracha when you take the talus of the shul, those who do not make a bracha, they'll tell you that the reason why I'm taking the talus of the shul and not the talus that my talus makes is because the shul, the dafka, is not giving it away to the person. It's the property of the shul. It's not a maton of nas lahachzer. But mainly, you can't make a bracha. What does the shul have in mind? Whatever you want, we have in mind. If you don't want to make a bracha, we're not giving it to you. If you want to make a bracha, we're giving it to you. Whatever you want, the shul says, do whatever you want, don't get us involved. Okay, that's the attitude, that is the common attitude today throughout the world. So whatever you do is good. But at night, it's more of a problem, because the shul, you want to have it, you could have it, you don't want to have it. So therefore, it used to be the minig is, you borrow. Borrow? He's not giving it to me. If I go ask my neighbor, he's not giving it to me, he's giving me his talus. Memela, it's a talis she'ula, and a talis she'ula, it's not matana maslahach, so you don't make a bracha. That's the meaning when it comes to the night of selichas. The night of slichas. Now, how do we get into over here? So tasa l'cha, because the pasuk says that you must own, in order to make a bracha, you must own the talis. We dash the word l'cha. It's not really accurate. The bottom of it shows that it's not really accurate. The drasha kisuscha. It's not the word l'cha. It's from the word kidcha, from the word kisuscha. But the idea is the same. So therefore, the question comes back when it comes to shayfar. It says the same word. It says yom trua yihye l'chem. Why don't we dash in l'chem that you must own the shayfar? No. The answer is. In the end, the word lochem is not going on. It's not going on the owning of the shofar. That the sound shall be lochem, not the ownership, not the lekicha, not the taking of the shofar. Just the sound should be lochem. V'lo shaych lo mashiyah mishlochem. Sound. It's not possible that sound should be your property. It's not possible. Sound is something with him. Can have a little lochem. If you really want to, you have to own the shofar. Shall say lochem lochem shofar. Ulochem therefore shol kosh. That's why a shofar that is barred is kosher lechatin. You can make a bracha. Ulochem mutal little shofar shol chaver shlemidaita lekoyabo. At kedei kach even like the nichalei laadam sheyove mitzvah bimimoynai. A person is very happy that someone else should do a mitzvah with his own property. So therefore, you can even borrow the shofar without the person knowing about it. The mistama nichal laadam lekai mitzvah bimimoynai. Are you allowed to take someone shtender without asking him? Someone took someone else's shtender, was davening, and he made a big fuss. You're a ganaf, you're a gazlan, your whole tefillah was done on a shtender, a borrowed shtender that's not yours. You're a ganaf to take someone's shtender when you daven shmon esrei. I heard many people at Bizmana said that was talking about this type of shtenders that existed at the time of the Alp of Slobodka, which were very, very shvach and did not last very long. And every time you touch one of those shtenders, you wondered if it would even make it through the Shemona Esrei. So in the Chanami, it's very delicate. I once bought a shtender. It cost a lot of money to buy a shtender. So I wanted a shtender in Tarvadas for myself. People buy their own private shtenders. I didn't have any money. So I bought the cheapest possible shtender. And I was only there for a few hours a day because I was working at that time. I came back two days later, gone, broken, totally broken into a few pieces because it was so shvach. And of course, when I'm not there, everyone took it for themselves, and it was gone. So then I had to save up some money, and I bought an indestructible shtender. And you should know, Rabelski Taka used it. You know, something you say on Rabelski, the second to last year, it was very interesting. Someone told me that on Yom Kippur Ni'ilah, so he had a Verabelsky, he had a very hard time with his back. He had a lot of pain the last couple of years. They even made him a special chair, very tall, he was a giant. He was like 6'5", 6'6", humongous, Verabelsky. And he had a lot of problems. And he was the Baal Tefillah. He was the Baal Tefillah on the Yom and the Ram for 50 years. Who knows how many years? For Musaf and Ni'ilah. And they made for him, he had a hard time standing. It was a very big deal those last years, davening for the Amud. So they made a special chair, a special shtender, and then he said he only wanted my shtender. I was so proud. He wanted, because my, whatever, the height, whatever it was, because it's there, it's still there. What? I have no sticker on it. It's my shtender. I was so proud also, I saw they had an event bragging about myself, I shouldn't talk about myself, but they had an event in Tarav Das. I don't know, a Siyam. So they put the pictures on Matzev. Big Siyam. Someone came, they made a scene that, you know, they had among the Talmidim. I was looking at the pictures. That's my shtender. They took my shtender to the dining room and used it for the Siyam. So Baruch Hashem. It's still there.
Maybe
it costs $90. So yeah,
whatever
they paint the standard, whatever. But those standards, those are the Israeli standards. They made the metal frame and the wood top, the formica on the top. They're indestructible. Bli Ayin Hara. They're literally indestructible. Those are the best. So Bizman Hazeh. I've read this, heard the Paiskim, but a person takes a standard without asking permission. Are you going to say that the Dayak to the Shemona Esrei is Mitzvah Be'Avera? Definitely not. Because if the person is not there, it's Mamish Nichalei La'odom She'oved Mitzvah B'Memoinei, especially when it's Zenene V'Zeh Loi Chosar. And if you have a indestructible shtender, like the ones that make an Eretz Yisrael with the metal frame and the formica top, they're proven to last forever. They really are. They're really good. And the Mela, you go to a shul and you want to go use someone's shtender, unless it says Ashar Gemura, don't you dare touch my shtender. You can put your sitter down on their shtender. You have a right to assume a person puts their shtender. And in all these shuls, everyone has these tabletop shtenders. As long as they're solid, and it doesn't say do not use, then you could assume that the person is not mach, but otherwise he wouldn't put him in such a public place like this.
Out the red bells of Rabbi Shtender.
Oh, it's in a glass case.
Right.
So that's what the Alphas the Buck was talking about. Yeah. If a person makes a shtender like that, Schleiber Shos, that's awesome. Because you look at that shtender, that shtender is not going to last very long.
Exactly.
That's what the Alta of Slobodka, because times have changed. Today, the shtender, a good shtender, is indestructible, but no shtender is in this wear and tear, so if you're using it, it's mamish gezel. Let's finish up the halach. Question, go 100 koilas. You're going to ruin the shofar? No, you're not. You're not going to ruin the shofar so quickly. It has 100,000... Kia guarantee bumper to bumper. So you have a way to go. You have to worry about that. But you can't go take someone's shofar at a shul and use it to practice. That's already pushing it. What do you mean? If you have to violate in Isser Dirabanan in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah derives of Tkiyah Shofar, it doesn't matter. Chazal held up their Isser Dirabanan even to prevent you from a Mekayim mitzvah deraisa. For example, there is no L'chein Imhoyim Munach ala Shofar Gal Shelavanim. Muksa! How do you like that? If you put your smartphone on top of your Shofar, so what are you going to do now? The Shofar is the bosses. It's no joke. You put your shofar and there's something muksa on top of your shofar. So the shofar is a bosses. It's muksa. A gal shel avonim. The shofar is buried under a heap of stone. So in order to get to the shofar, you have to pull up the stones. Now the truth is that the shofar, and so you can pull the shofar out. That's good. That's mutter. But the only way, in this example, the only way to get to the shofar is to take away the stones. There are a lot of solutions for muksa. If the muksa is underneath, like this, so you can just push it out. I mean, you can't really move
it. Can you tilt it off?
I don't know, I'm not sharp, I don't know the details, but the old examples, if you're only taking the item that's not muksa, and the mela, you're indirectly causing the muksa to fall off, b'di'eved, you can do it. Especially when you do it kalachar yad, you can do it. But here, he's discussing a unique case where there's no way to get to the shofar unless you mamish handle the muksa. Stones. And stones are things that you can't handle kalacharyat. Heavy stones, you can't go and use your elbow to move away a heavy stone. The only way you can get to the shofar in this exact case is you have these massively heavy stones. Each one weighs 50 pounds. The only way you're able to get to the shofar is to pick up with your two hands in the normal way a stone. A stone is muksa. So how now? What?
Can you ask a guy to do it?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly, yeah. Bukhari, yeah. Bukhari, you can. But let's say there is no guy available. There's no guy available. And the only way you can get to your shofar is by handling the muksa in the normal way. It's asr. Why is it asr? Muksa only the rabbanon. Shofar is the raisa. Why don't we say the rabbanon overrides the raisa? That's the answer. The answer is no, we don't say such a thing. Let's say it's out of a tree. The only way I can get the shofar is climbing the tree. It is also midrabanan to climb. Rabbi, sorry. Please, no talking. And therefore, it is also lechain imhoya munach al shofar al gal al shalvan al shofar dvar mashosun mitilto al shofar al shofar munach al shofar ilan al chutz l'tchum. Or let's say it's outside the tchum 2,000 amas. How am I going to get it? On Yom Tif. Tchum applies to Yom Tif as well. That's a very controversial topic. Does Tchum apply to Yom Tif? Applies to Shabbos, for sure. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, but you're allowed to carry on Yom Tif, so you're allowed to go outside the Tchum on Yom Tif. So here he's saying, no, you're not allowed to go past the Tchum on Yom Tif, or even if it's Shabbos and there's an area where you can't go Tchum, or you ever hanar, or the other side, to swim. Are you allowed to swim on Yom Tif? Minatara, yes. Midrabana, no. Why are you not allowed to swim on Yom Tov? Because you may make a life raft. You may come to make for yourself a life raft, so it's aser. Also, la lois bilan eloshut benor la'avir v'la'avar b'marava to pass over a bridge, shekorin ma'boires, whatever this word is, or b'sfina ketana, or I'm sorry, but v'la'avar, this is motive, but to go over a bridge, or to go on a sfina ketana, a raft, yevshe v'la'afachi, yesh kisnach l'matim, it's machlekes. This machlekes, you're allowed to go over like a rope bridge, or you're allowed to go over a, I don't know, some type of very, very shlacha bridge.
Boris is a ferry boat.
A ferry boat, that's another thing. Are you allowed to go on a ferry boat, or are you allowed to go over a bridge, a makeshift bridge on Shabbos? Machlekes apoiskim. What's the danger? You may fix the bridge, or you may have to end up swimming. The bridge may collapse, and you'll have to swim across. What?
You don't put yourself in that.
What echol nefesh is there? This is not food. No, in order to eat, you can do all malachas, many malachas. No, but not. You can't do all malachas for shayfer. No. Mitoch shel tzochot shelo letzarech. It only applies to esh. This principle that mitoch shahutru letzarech echol nefesh hutru for all malachas. That's all unique to fire. That's only when it comes to lighting a fire, because fire is a weak mitzvah. Lalavi, it's a unique halacha, but it does not apply when it comes to all these other yisurim. Meila halacha is it is osur, it is forbidden for a person to violate an isur derabban l'tzarech mitzvah. Now, what about Amir l'nachwi? But asking a guy, so Amir l'nachwi is a shvus l'tzarech mitzvah's mutter. Kigayin l'shloach l'havi afil l'chus etchem mutter b'makay mitzvah. They have a shvus to shvus. Why? Because they're asking him to do for you a mitzvah derabbanan. You're asking him to this ideal. It's really all three together. It's all three together. It's a mitzvah. Number two, asking him, Goy do malacha is midrabbanan. And the malacha that you're asking him to do is also midrabbanan. So you got the magic combination. The magic combination is the tzarch mitzvah, and it's a shvus dishvus. It's prohibition midrabbanan to do another prohibition midrabbanan. Vimanoch yavil afil luchutz yubayz mil. Oh, but let's say the guy brings outside yubayz mil. Approximately 7-8 miles, gets in his car, and he's, oh, I know you need a shofar today, so I got you the shofar from the store. I broke into the store and I got you the shofar. I got you the shofar. So let's say he did an Isser de Oraisa, he went chutz mi yud beiz mil. Oh, so now you're dealing over here, the Harvey de Oraisa. I feel hockey taking boats, okay? Because if a guy in the single hall, no halacha, that a guy, he brought it outside yud beiz mil. So you're not, if it's brought outside, it's tuchum, you're not allowed to move it more than dalit amos. So very good. So don't move the shofar more than dalit amos. Take it in its location and blow it. The only thing that is awesome is eating and pleasure. And mitzvahs, lav, lehonais, nitu. Mitzvahs, lav, lehonais, nitu. The alkoponim, oslo, talco, chus, lav, amos. If a guy brings it outside, good days, nil. So that's already chutz, that's a deraisa, that's a very far distance. Let's say the guy makes it on Yom Tov. He mamish makes the shofar, which involves many malachas. Maybe we should say the principle of noilad, it's muksa. The shofar itself is muksa. It did not exist when Yom Tov began, and now it exists. This is the ultimate muksa. The ultimate muksa, which first comes into existence on Yom Tov itself. So the answer is it's not called noilad because it existed, but not in its perfect form. He had to cut it. Kevon shagarmoy bidei adam. He's saying, you saw it. Noilad is only when it is noilad bidei shamayim. Something already, something of Zgomer is going to be the Adam, that is not called Noilat. That's not the real Noilat. So since the guy made it the Yodayim, it's nothing which came through nature. That's not even the Adam is the Nola Midrabanan. It's a Nola Midrabanan. There's a Nola Daraisa. The whole shayla of Nola is Muksa's Daraisa Midrabanan. But even the most extreme form of Noilat, Muksa is Noilat, that can be the Shamayim. Noilad that came bidei adam, that's only midrabanan. So here tzarach mitzvah, you can be makel, and certainly when it comes to a shofar, the shofar already existed before Yom Tov began. The only thing was that the goy had to fashion, had to cut off the end of the animal, had to clean it out, had to maybe manipulate its shape a little bit. But that's not called noilad minatoyra of bidei shamayim. That's a man-made noilad, and therefore b'di'evet, if the goy does it, it's okay. There's only, of course, he did it from his own animals. So therefore, you didn't tell him to do it. But let's say he does it from yours. Also, the havulei noilat. then we do consider it to be noilat. To some, I don't know. I don't really know the reasons why. The how you differentiating. I'm not really clear on all these details. Fine. That's one, another halacha. New halacha. Are you allowed on Yom Tov to add some bali tokea? They have tricks. They have all their tricks up their sleeve where they pour into the shofar vinegar. They pour in, I don't know what they do, they pour in some. So it's yayin. Everyone has a trick. They have wine, water, they have oils, special oils, these exotic oils you buy on Amazon. You go and you smear, you drop, you take a little tweezer and you drop a little drop of oil into the shofar and you shake it up. It should be ain by mishum tikkun. So the question over here is this called tikkun mane? Is this called fixing it? Is this called yamin masaki? Right now the sound is not so great. By dropping in this ingredient, water or yayin or who knows what, it's going to enhance its sound. So is this called tikkun mane? The answer is no, it is mutter. Is it advisable? I don't know. Gotta ask your rabbi. I don't know how these things work. What?
Oh, you mean, is it advisable to do it on Yom Tov?
No, is it advisable? It changes the sound. It says mutter. People do it.
That it might possibly
it changes the, if it changes the sound. It's obviously it's not changing the sound. Okay, it says here water or yayin. I've always heard they pour vinegar. I've heard about this vinegar.
Well, the opposite.
What?
Well, opposite. A lot of times. There is fluid.
Saliva.
So
you want to get the saliva out. You want to get the moisture.
In advance,
you want to get the moisture out. Or maybe put in some salt. You put in salt. Put salt inside. It'll draw out the humidity. Why not? You put some salt. Put in pills. No, temporarily. You take these containers of pills. They put in these dehumidifier things. They absorb the moisture. You ever buy sometimes the medicines they have, aspirin. They have inside this little thing of it which absorbs. So you put that in the shofar. Put that little pack in the shofar. Seal it. Take some aluminum foil and seal the top and the bottom with saran wrap overnight, and that will draw out the humidity. The humidity that is trapped inside of the shofar, in order that it should be very dry. Rice, very good rice.
Right.
If your cell phone falls in the toilet, you're supposed to put it in rice, right? You don't try to turn it on. Take it and you put it in a bag of rice, in a plastic bag of rice, because the rice draws out the water. You may be able to salvage your smartphone if it falls chashol into a body of water. So same thing, maybe go put your rice with rice. Take some saran wrap, and in the morning take the saran wrap and empty it out. It will draw out the moisture that is trapped in the walls of the shofar, so that when you blow the shofar, it should be a pure, loud sound. Are you allowed to do this? He seems to say here, it's a tikkun mane. I'm improving the quality of the sound. So he seems to say it's mutter, it's not in violation of tikkun mane. Okay, we've just gone to the lush to get a bit of appreciation. Honestly, the details are not too great here from my end, but at least we got a little appreciation of a short break, and then we'll discuss some more in Yom Rosh Hashanah.